Hello and welcome to Covenant Grove's daily audio devotionals. In this series, we'll delve into the rich tapestry of supplications, sacred melodies, and poetry that have guided believers for centuries. The Book of Psalms is traditionally divided into five books, containing a diverse range of spiritual expressions, including hymns of praise, laments, literature of wisdom, and psalms of thanksgiving. The Western Jewish and Christian traditions recognize 150 psalms, while the Eastern Orthodox Christian Church includes an additional psalm, bringing their total to 151. In this series, we'll focus on books 3 and 4 of the canonical Book of Psalms. Specifically, our journey will take us through Psalms 73 to 106, and now we'll be delving into the treasure trove of writings known as the Psalms. So let us open our Bibles to Psalm 78, we'll be reading the full chapter. I'll be using the New Living Translation, but you're welcome to follow along in the version of the Bible that you're most comfortable with. Now, starting in verse 1, O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. The warriors of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned their backs and fled on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his instructions. They forgot what he had done, the great wonders he had shown them, the miracles he did for their ancestors on the plain of Zoan in the land of Egypt. For he divided the sea and led them through, making the water stand up like walls. In the daytime he led them by a cloud, and all night by a pillar of fire. He split open the rocks in the wilderness to give them water, as from a gushing spring. He made streams pour from the rock, making the waters flow down like a river. Yet they kept on sinning against him, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. They stubbornly tested God in their hearts, demanding the foods they crave. They even spoke against God himself, saying, quote, God can't give us food in the wilderness. Yes, he can strike a rock so water gushes out, but he can't give his people bread and meat, end quote. When the Lord heard them, he was furious. The fire of his wrath burned against Jacob. Yes, his anger rose against Israel, for they did not believe God or trust him to care for them. But he commanded the skies to open. He opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna for them to eat. He gave them bread from heaven. They ate the food of angels. God gave them all they could hold. He released the east wind in the heavens and guided the south wind by his mighty power. He rained down meat as thick as dust, birds as plentiful as the sand on the seashore. He caused the birds to fall within their camp and all around their tent. The people ate their fill. He gave them what they crave. But before they satisfied their craving, while the meat was yet in their mouths, the anger of God rose against them, and he killed their strongest men. He struck down the finest of Israel's young men. But in spite of this, the people kept sinning. Despite his wonders, they refused to trust him. So he ended their lives in failure, their years in terror. When God began killing them, they finally sought him. They repented and took God seriously. Then they remembered that God was their rock, that God Most High was their Redeemer. But all they gave him was lip service. They lied to him with their tongues. Their hearts were not loyal to him. They did not keep his covenant. Yet he was merciful and forgave their sins and did not destroy them all. Many times he held back his anger and did not unleash his fury, for he remembered that they were merely mortal, gone like a breath of wind that never returns. Oh, how often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved his heart in that dry wasteland. Again and again they tested God's patience and provoked the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power and and how he rescued them from their enemies. They did not remember his miraculous signs in Egypt, his wonders on the plain of Zoan, for he turned their rivers into blood, so no one could drink from the streams. He sent vast swarms of flies to consume them and hordes of frogs to ruin them. He gave their crops to caterpillars. Their harvest was consumed by locusts. He destroyed their grapevines with hail and shattered their sycamore figs with sleet. He abandoned their cattle to the hail, their livestock to bolts of lightning. He loosed on them his fierce anger, all his fury, rage, and hostility. He dispatched against them a band of destroying angels. He turned his anger against them. He did not spare the Egyptians' lives but ravaged them with the plague. He killed the oldest son in each Egyptian family, the flower of youth throughout the land of Egypt. But he led his own people like a flock of sheep, guiding them safely through the wilderness. He kept them safe so they were not afraid, but the sea covered their enemies. He brought them to the border of his holy land, to this land of hills he had won for them. He drove out the nations before them. He gave them their inheritance by lot. He settled the tribes of Israel into their homes, but they kept testing and rebelling against God Most High. They did not obey his laws. They turned back and were as faithless as their parents. They were as undependable as a crooked bough. They angered God by building shrines to other gods. They made him jealous with their idols. When God heard them, he was very angry, and he completely rejected Israel. Then he abandoned his dwelling at Shiloh, the tabernacle where he had lived among the people. He allowed the ark of his might to be captured. He surrendered his glory into enemy hands. He gave his people over to be butchered by the sword, because he was so angry with his own people, his special possession. Their young men were killed by fire. Their young women died before singing their wedding songs. Their priests were slaughtered, and their widows could not mourn their deaths. Then the Lord rose up as though waking from sleep, like a warrior aroused from a drunken stupor. He routed his enemies and sent them to eternal shame. But he rejected Joseph's descendants. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim. He chose instead the tribe of Judah and Mount Zion, which he loved. There he built his sanctuary as high as the heavens, as solid and enduring as the earth. He chose his servant David, calling him from the sheep pens. He took David from tending the ewes and lambs and made him the shepherd of Jacob's descendants, God's own people, Israel. He cared for them with a true heart and led them with skillful hands. Once again, that was Psalms chapter 78 in the New Living Translation. Let's discuss and explore the section of the scriptures we just read a little more in depth. This is a long psalm because Asaph is reminding God's people about the greatness of the Lord. The last psalm taught that remembering the Lord's miracles and faithfulness helps us overcome feeling that God is against us or has abandoned us. This psalm continues to declare the greatness of our God by telling the stories of his faithfulness. Telling these stories makes a difference. These stories should be shared, taught, and passed on to the next generation, from what we just read in verses 1 through 8. There are a few key lessons from this psalm. First, we should not harden our hearts and stubbornly rebel against the Lord, which is referenced several times in the reading we just read in verses 8, 17 through 19, 32, 40, and finally in verses 56 through 58. Our way is not the best way. The easy way is not always the right way. Second, we need to remember all that God has done for us. The very fact is written in these scriptures from the same chapter we just read. 11 through 16, 23 through 29, 35 through 37, and of course, finally in verses 42 through 43. Third, the Lord will punish us, his people, when we do wrong, which is also mentioned again in these verses. 21 through 22, 31, and finishing up with verses 59 through 64. God has the right to punish us for doing wrong. His discipline is love. Finally, the psalm emphasizes that we need to repent and return to our loving God, and he will accept us, which we learn from verse 34, 38, and verse 72. Here are some things to meditate on during your personal prayer time and for the rest of the day. When life has gotten you down, How many Bible stories do you tell to remind you of the greatness of God? Which lesson from the Psalm do you need to apply to your life today? We're so grateful that you joined us for our daily audio devotionals, and we hope this was a great encouragement to all our listeners out there. Make sure to follow along with us on Monday through Friday for more enriching insights, discussions, and soul-searching introspections of these sacred biblical writings. May you all be blessed in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.